Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
Raleigh James, with 3 hours to spend together, and I hope I'll hear from you. Now, that said, a couple things. Yeah, man, I get mail. And lately I've been getting a spate of email that I actually ignored, but I finally realized I better bring this up on the air. When you call 888-876-5593, this is a voice line. There absolutely is no text capability to that number, because I have had people accusing me of not answering their texts. I don't get them. And, you know, that's the problem with text messaging, is that you don't get any notice your text didn't go through. It just goes into the ether. You assume the recipient has seen it and forget about it. So please do not text. Please call. It's radio. We want to hear from you. And there's no workaround by a text. So that's number one. And the other thing is, I love hearing from every one of you, and I absolutely love your stories, but I'm going to ask for a lot more brevity on some things, particularly when you're going through family drama or things like this. And it's interesting. We all want to know what's going on, but when it comes to, you know, a daily update on the family, 30 seconds is enough for that, period. And what we really want to hear, of course, is what's on your mind, new and different that we haven't heard yet. And if there's any way we can all collectively help you, well, we will. Speaking of which, got a lot of emails in the last month. Well, you're not updating us on Sam's granddaughter, and I will. Actually, Sam called the other night. We didn't put him on the air because he said, "I cannot discuss this," and it's sensitive. And he feels his daughter would be in harm's way if he continued to try and make a public plea. The only thing I will tell you is that the courts, for whatever reason, did not rule in his favor. So Everly, his granddaughter, who was abducted from her custodial parents' home, is no longer in that home. She is in Wisconsin with an associate. I don't know how the relationship works, of her ex-husband. So that's the deal. But Sam said, you know, we're being threatened here, and he's worried about his daughter's safety. So we're not going to discuss it. But I wanted to close the chapter, and I told John, don't put Sam on the air if we can't say anything, because of course that's what everybody wants to know. So now you know, and we welcome Sam to call anytime. We wouldn't ask about Everly, but by all means, keep her in your prayers. So I get that. That can be very sensitive, and we don't want to do that. Do you remember Tom Lehrer's pollution? Yeah, and the line, the breakfast garbage you throw into the bay, they drink at lunch in San Jose. It was a great song. Well, it turns out, yeah, they probably do. And I thought of that song, not so much from San Jose or other places in California, but a message in a bottle launched by visitors to Newfoundland was washed up on an Irish beach 13 years later. After crossing the Atlantic Ocean. And well, we talk about this occasionally. I'd say about once a month we hear one of these stories, and it's just amazing how far things will travel. And you might want to think about that before you dump trash next time. But apparently, a woman was walking a Dingle Peninsula when she spotted a wine bottle with a sheet of paper inside. So, of course, wouldn't you be interested? Yeah, I'd want to know if there's a genie. So she shows the bottle to friends, in fact, at a community meeting that night, and what they said, well, we got to break the glass open. We got to know what it says. So they did. And the note was written by a couple named Brad and Anita. It was dated September 12th, 2012, and the letter described a day trip to Belle Island off of Newfoundland. So here it is in Ireland. So there's a phone number on the letter. And the folks in Ireland actually called it, but there was no answer. But, of course, the internet being what it is and social media being ubiquitous, they went online. And within an hour, they found Anita of the bottle writer fame, and they were messaging her. And apparently, Anita reported that she and Brad married in 2016, and they're still together to this day. So, yeah, that was a feel-good story. But the point of it is, again, you know, we think nothing of throwing our waste, you know, off the side of the boat or whatever. Man, you hear about things traveling from Newfoundland to Ireland, and that's pretty amazing. And we've seen them further, you know, like from New Zealand halfway around the world and all that. But anyhow, so that was the latest in feel-good stories, and I liked it. So it was an interesting day for me all the way around. last night. I realized at about 3 in the morning that I'm not a cell phone person. I don't do that. I can't see them. I don't like them. But I do have one, and I don't even know the number. But John does, you see. And that's the only person who does, because it's, you know, since he obviously had a hemorrhagic stroke, now it's gone on 2.5 years ago, and still doing a lot of therapy and all that, he needs to be in contact, and I need to know he can be in contact. So I broke down and got one of these newfangled cell phones. And like I say, nobody else has the number because I don't use this. But when I'm, especially when he's out, like he's out exercising in the water or something, I make damn sure that phone is close to me, which is exactly what happened yesterday. Except last night, I was looking for the phone and nowhere, absolutely nowhere. It's an iPhone. Am I on iCloud? Hell no. Yeah. Do I have Find My Phone? Hell no. I have nothing. We got a first-time caller, actually, and so John just came in, and John says, shut up and talk to Tom. All right, I will. I'll tell you more about the phone in a little while. Yeah, I know, and I really should, because, you know, first-time callers are usually not too patient. So Tom is a first-time caller in Chicago, and we're thrilled about that. So Tom, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, thank you, Raleigh, and thank you for your great show and everything you do. So I just wanted to know if you've heard of this this eccentric musician who sounds very similar to a lot of the music you play on KJAA. His name is Bloodshot Bill.
Yeah, and his new album is so fed up.
You know, of course you know. Okay, I just thought you might get a kick out of it, yeah. And it might resonate with the KJAA audience.
Well, how can you not like a guy who redoes Redbone? Absolutely, and I should. Do you have a favorite by him I can play as a bumper for you?
Oh, boy. Let's see. I mean, it's hard to just... Your lady's choice.
Oh, okay. All right. Maybe Crazy About the Girl or My Heart Cries for You. I'll pick something.
Oh, great. All right. Well, thank you very much.
I'm so glad you called, and thanks to Bloodshot Bill for making you do it. I hope you'll do it again.
I will. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Yes, indeed. Bloodshot Bill. And, that's the album, So Fed Up. And it's an interesting story. You know, he has albums like Songs from the Sludge. All right. How do you not buy this when it comes to that, right? And he's got a Facebook page, I think. But not doing that. I don't know. A few years ago, was it Psychobilly? I thought that had promise. You betcha. So he's on Goner, is the label, by the way. All right, so we'll maybe talk a little more about him. And, yeah, I'll have to move some bumpers around because I think it's appropriate we play Bloodshot Bill. And maybe next, and then we'll get to Ruth and Gurney, and there's room for you two. And, yeah, we'll get back to the phone. I found it at noon today. Now, mind you, remember, I lost this at 3 in the morning. Yeah, it's been an interesting night. All right, all that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
I done my time, time to say goodbye. Time to wrap it up and say bye-bye. Would it be so long? Well, I'm dying. Your heart will bubble in my heart cry free. Taking a chance, people gotta try. Time to wrap it up and say bye-bye. Would it be so long? We done my time. Time to say goodbye. Time to wrap it up and say bye-bye. Wouldn't it be so long? Yeah, well, I'm dying. Your heart will stop for me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's that's whistling, by the way. That's Bloodshot Bill. He's a one-man band, usually. Occasionally, he has the two-time and three backing him up, but usually he's doing everything by himself. The guitar, the drum, the hi-hat, all at once. And whistling, right, exactly. And I must admit that the first thing I thought of playing, I didn't know if I could or not, because I haven't listened close enough to the lyrics to know if it's a Lose Your License song. The title is Spit on My Rubber. Yeah. So we passed on that, to say the least. And then I thought maybe Pizza the Cornwall Way. And there's an official Bloodshot Bill video, I believe, on that. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, I didn't have all that much on this. But he's Canadian, or at least I don't know. He's born and raised. I don't have his bio, but he lives in Montreal. And first time I ran across him, it was an album, and the liner notes were in French. But they're not all the way, obviously. He travels the U.S. and, you know, Canada and Europe, too, as far as that goes. And as far as I know, he is Canadian. He's recorded some of this stuff in Toronto, and because one of his albums was, recorded it at a studio in Toronto. But so anyway, that's it. Maybe we'll play Pizza the Cornwall Way one of these nights. I actually had pizza for dinner tonight. All right, so I'm going to look to see if that is a video, because I bet you it's got some nice pictures of pizza if it is. Okay, so I'm delighted that that came up. All right, now we were going to talk to Ruth in Gurnee, but I think she heard Bloodshot Bill and hung up. Oh, who could blame her? All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. It is all your requests tonight, I promise, and got several of them lined up, and some of them better than others as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. So, 3 o'clock in the morning, the phone's missing. So, and I think to myself, well, it must be here. You know, this is the good news. I got a chance to clean up that particular studio. I mean, there were requests everywhere. I found requests, yeah, right, as I was gathering every piece of paper, hoping the phone would be under it, but it wasn't. And, of course, now tonight we're in the other studio. But anyway, went through everything, nothing. And then it occurred to me, while John was doing water aquatics yesterday, I decided I'd get on the treadmill. And it's at a gym. And I thought, well, all right. And of course, I can't just tread and look at the wall. Well, I could, but treading is uniquely boring to me. It's very nice to sit on a couch and look at the wall, but I don't want to be treading and doing it. I don't know. So anyhow, I bring the phone, because I figured, well, I can just get a YouTube video or listen to News Nation. That's exactly what I did, actually. And it was all about the floods, obviously, and how the rescue efforts were going and all that. And, of course, I paid rapt attention while I trotted along like a St. Bernard in heat. And apparently, I don't know what distracted me. Yeah, that's the operative word. But I wound up leaving the phone there. And, of course, now I realize it's like 4:30 in the morning, and this place is not going to be open, to say this. Not the 24-hour variety. And so I realized, well, will I get any sleep? Well, to tell you how little I care about the phone, I fell asleep immediately, which was good news. And when I woke up today, after seeing my spick and span studio, yeah, right, I don't think I would have cleaned it up for any other reason, I sent John over. And sure enough, in due time, he found it. Somebody apparently had found it and put it on a shelf somewhere else. But it was in the place, and they found it. And so back to the phone. So now I think, all right. Now, by the way, when I realized it was missing and I knew I didn't have Find My Phone, because I'm not on iCloud or anything, I looked to all the other ways to find my phone. You know, do I have Google Maps? No, of course not. I don't have any of these things. And so then you get these sites, which they've just got to be scams, where for 10 cents they'll find your phone. I love that. I actually clicked on one to see what would happen, get to PayPal, and I go, sure enough. What happened there, in addition to the dime I would pay for the information that obviously wouldn't have been any good, I'm sure, but was a little note saying, you are hereby subscribing to this, and other things may be billed. You know, I thought, no way. And bottom line is, there's no shortage of scams online, as you well know. and all ended well. But I thought to myself, some of these sites look really good. You know, you wouldn't normally think. In fact, some of them are couched as they're giving you advice, you know, technical advice, like all that, you know, like they're their own Kim Komando. Be afraid, be very afraid. It just really brought home how bad things are in terms of, or if you're a scammer, how good things are. Because a lot of this stuff, it's very hard to detect. So what did I do? I actually signed up for Find My Phone and realized that I'll never use this other than for John. So if I get into trouble because I have used iCloud, there'll be nothing on the phone. But at least maybe I'll find it, you know, or not. So that was the phone story. But like I say, I mentioned it only because I knew that there were scams everywhere, but I had no idea the level. Just the absolute sheer volume of this, and again, how good some of these looked. And like I say, a dime? What could be bad about paying a dime? Yeah, until you read the fine print about, and then you're quote-unquote subscribing, and you're telling PayPal that they can bill you repeated. Oh, no, they can't. All right, so beware. Yes, okay. Foreknowledge is forearmed. 888-876-5593. We'll check out the world at large and get back to it, and hopefully your calls as well on WGN Radio.
On the wings of the snow white dove, his pure sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove, when troubles surround us, when evils come, the body grows weak, the spirit grows numb, when these things beset us, doesn't forget us. He sends down his love on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow white dove. He sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove. On the flood many days, he searched for land,
he searched for land,
in various ways,
various ways.
Troubles he had some, but wasn't forgotten. He sent him his love,
sent him his love,
on the wings of a dove.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Wings of a Dove, that's Ferlin Husky, 1960 on Capitol, and Billy Bob from Bourbonnais wanted to hear that, and we'll also be playing Hello Walls at some point, if not tonight, tomorrow night, because I know that James on the south side wanted that. Yes, it is a Ferlin Husky bonanza. All right, so we're talking about what I said, be afraid, very afraid, in terms of all the scams that are online. I check email, and oh, man. I get all the different trainings and stuff like that, you know, for coding and various things, and most of the time I just ignore them, but this was great. Now, I don't know how much you use Excel, but if you do use it, you know very well that what you're really doing is analyzing data, very often financial data, but not only. And yes, I too can learn AI for Excel. That's right. It's a ChatGPT seminar coming up. No, just no, absolutely not. But as we were saying the other night, that's really frightening is more and more companies are doing this to automate tasks and, you know, create reports, save money, basically. In some cases, your safety and privacy be damned as far as that goes. But there you have it. I almost thought I should sign up for the seminar just to see what the hell they're going to tell me. And so there you have it. Yes, I'm not for it. But Pat in Harwood Heights has a question. So Pat, welcome to WGN Radio.
Raleigh, it's so nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, I'm glad you called. What's up?
Well, you know, I'm 61, a little younger than you.
Yeah.
I started in electronics about 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And people were older than me were angry because, you know, radio, TV, it was vacuum tubes.
Well, right. You're 100% right. In 1955, Bell Labs came up with solid state. And granted, a lot of us didn't encounter it till a little bit later. But yeah, solid state changed the world for us. Little did we think that that was going to be passe and we'd be in the digital age. So, yes.
Absolutely. And those people had a choice to learn transistor technology in solid state or do something else. I feel like AI is kind of, at this time, the same thing.
Well, AI is not ready for prime time yet, as far as I'm concerned. We're still really in the development stage, and especially casual uses of AI like Google does on searches can be downright hilarious. When they're using abductive reasoning and coming up with answers that you would never believe. But it doesn't yet worry me tremendously because I still see this, I don't care what anybody says, as largely a fancy form of in-depth deductive logic. I'm not seeing too much inducing yet. It's coming, and at this point, it can do rudimentary things, but it's not ready for prime time. It will be, but not yet.
I don't think it is either, but what I see at my company, it's being jammed down people's throats.
Well, yes, because there's financial incentive. Somebody above them sold them this bill of goods that they could save so much money.
Oh, absolutely.
And, of course, the very people who are jamming it down your throats have absolutely no idea what it is in reality.
Well, I consider it a data aggregator.
Yes.
But whatever you aggregate depends on what you get.
Well, of course. And again, as an aggregator, you're using a deductive skill. Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
But then the stuff they're pushing on us.
Uh-huh.
And maybe I'm going to have to move on to something else. I never signed on or said I was a data analyst. I mean, it's incredible, the graphs and the amount of data that they want us to look through from these programs. It's all marketing, too.
Well, of course it is. That's why I say.
Machine learning
Well, right. And it's seductive to the guys in charge because they're told how much they'll save. Just like automation tasks, some of which are absolutely great and some of which are truly hilarious. It will be jammed down your throat by people who have no idea what they're doing, which is unfortunate. Very unfortunate. But yeah, even in broadcasting, I can't tell you how many times I get something, you as a radio station owner need AI to write your commercials. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. They'll claim it'll do everything, including, plant your vegetables.
I think today I heard that, there's multiple different versions.
Oh, of course.
I think the X one, there was some stuff on the news today saying that somebody asked a question about the Texas floods.
Uh-huh.
And it came up with Hitler information. I mean...
Oh, yeah. Well, occasionally when I have nothing better to do, and I'm if I'm crunching things or it's taking a while for a file to download for me or upload or whatever, I'll play around while I'm waiting. And like I say, I love Google because you can put terms in like about some of my doo-wop artists, and the responses I get are just so off the mark, they're laughable. Obviously. But, that to me reminds me so much of remember when they first allowed calculators for kids in grade school? And, which is insanity because if you don't understand the principles, you're not going to know when you entered something wrong. And, I always laugh because I had a friend who was convinced he was getting 99 miles to the gallon in his car. I said, no, really, you're not. Oh, but that's what it says.
I got you.
Yeah,
it's because that person had no perspective to know that the number didn't make sense.
Right, exactly, and that's what bothers me about that, especially with these kids. And we're talking arithmetic here. If you don't know the basics, firstly, it's a great way to instill logic in kids. But apart from that, if you don't know the basics, you're never going to be able to know if it's right or wrong. So this is just a continuation. And like I say, it's very seductive to employers because they're being told how much money they'll save.
In my industry, it's like we are becoming a technology company, and you're going to have to adapt.
Well,
you know, for the last 30 years, I never said I was an engineer, a data analyst, or anything else. I just, you know.
Oh, I know. It would be truly funny if it wasn't going to affect some people's lives, because whether it's medical or financial, there are some crucial tasks that are, at first we complained that they were being outsourced to countries we can't find on a map. Now, the heck with outsourcing. Let's just have AI do it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see when some radio chain decides they're going to have their entire traffic department run by AI. It was bad enough that one major broadcaster, traffic, by the way, is how you schedule commercials. It's logs and things like that. It's basically the money you make. All right. Well, there is a major broadcaster, I won't mention any names, but they outsourced all of their traffic to India. I am not making this up. Their salespeople are saying things like, "We don't sell; we just apologize for the commercials running at the wrong time." it would be funny, and in that case, no one dies if the commercial doesn't run a morning drive. But medical, or in some cases, financial, this can be life changing.
Oh God! You know, Google was a game changer, but you have to be smart whether you're looking for medical stuff. Advice on how to fix a car issue half of it's going to be wrong. You have to realize that it's not always going to be accurate.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I would say Dr. Google. Don't consult Dr. Google. And I've told this story many times, but my experience with this goes back maybe 20 years or so ago when John was away on a shoot, and I was there, and I had a real autoimmune thing, and I took what the doctor gave me, and I was just suffering. So I start looking it up, right? Big mistake. And so now I'm reading something, and I'm hearing it's dire, it's getting more dire, and I'm panting by the time I'm done. And then I see the line about dull coat, and I realized I was reading a veterinary medicine journal. So, you know.
You know what? It could happen to anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. But so that I had to laugh at that point because, you can read this stuff. Because I was, I say, I got that. And then I realized, my God, I'm not a Saint Bernard. So,
Funny. So, it's hilarious.
Yeah, and that's the way it is. Now, the big problem with Google that I see, and it's not really fixable at this point, and for people who think they're going to be the next internet star, when you scratch the surface, almost all the internet stars have some terrestrial component, because no one has ever gone to Google and searched for something they've never heard of. So, there's like 35,000 podcasts out there. Well, if you don't know what you're looking for, you're not going to be able to search for it.
But it is an incredible source if you're willing to poke around.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like anything else, approach avoidance. There's things about it that are wonderful, and there are things about it that are heart-stoppingly bad. And that's an argument we have off the air a lot. You know, as much as you hate all of the privacy invasion and many of the other things that you get, would you be willing to go back to 1962? And, in some ways it's a hard call, but for most of us, when we sober up, we say, no, I guess we put up with it. Because, 100 years from now, this will be very different. But right now, what we have is technology is leading wisdom. And so people do not yet know how to use it.
And as far as what you just mentioned, privacy?
Yeah.
That cat's out of whatever you call it.
Well, right. And sadly, there are people, young people are indoctrinated. I love the, what have you got to hide? Oh, my dear God. Yeah, so.
There's no going back.
No, of course there isn't. But, 100 years from now, I won't be here. Hell, 10 years from now, I won't be here. But it'll be very
different. 20 years from now, if if 20, I won't be here either.
Right, right. So you know, the big changes we won't see. But when you realize the changes we have seen, yeah, I remember when I started out in Double E, you know, it was gentleman and lady. You know, there are two type of engineers. Engineers who know solid state and engineers who are out of work. We do not teach solid state at this point. Be committed to higher education. I thought, I'm changing majors. So.
Wait, yeah. Where did you go to school?
University of Miami, as we called Suntan U.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's funny. I graduated magna cum laude, and people said, oh, that must have... I said, no, they graded on a curve. You have no idea. This was really easy. So, yeah. Yes, yeah, Suntan U.
It was before Jimmy Johnson and National
Championship. Of course it was. You know, and, you know, you mentioned sports. I didn't even know we had teams because University of Miami was in Coral Gables, and Coral Gables forbid the school from having sports there. So they played at the Orange Bowl in Miami, in downtown Miami. So you were not within 20 miles of the stadium. So somebody said, where's the stadium? I said, I don't know, beats me. You know, and Carl Gables wouldn't let him to have any of the fraternity houses or all that. So it was a different thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's kind of fascinating.
Yeah. So I'm sure they had sports teams when I went there, but you wouldn't know it by me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm so glad you called, and I hope you will again, Pat.
No, I really enjoyed talking to you again. You take care, Riley.
You too. Thanks. Okay, bye. All right. So how neat. Yeah. So let's see. I know what I want to talk about. Happy things. The Seacrane Company. Yeah. I was telling you about it last night, actually. Vector Systems. And here is the deal. You've got some form of a wireless access point. It's probably your wireless router. That's what most people have. All right. And you notice that the farther away you are from the wireless router, the less well it performs, so to speak. Yeah, things start to drop out, things start to be slow, et cetera, and so forth. And, you know, you're right next to it, things are great. Two rooms away, not so much. Well, think about it if you've got a workshop in the backyard or a guest house or maybe just a backyard office a few hundred feet from your home. You're going to get another internet connection? No, you want to look at the Vector system. And the reason is that it will make your wireless access point, your Wi-Fi router, just solid. If it's sketchy now, it will be solid when you use it, and it will not cost you a fortune. You won't have to get a second internet service or anything like that. And best of all, it's easy to use. So the difference is two rooms away, you're getting nothing. Now, half a mile away, I don't know if that's good or bad, actually, but half a mile away, you can get something. Now, there is one caveat, line of sight. It's not going to turn the corner, but if it's line of sight, you can get up to half a mile. And you're not going to want to get up to half a mile. You're just going to beef it up in the house, especially if, you know, upstairs, downstairs, a basement and all that. And, you know, some places it's just lousy. Well, if you're complaining about that, look at the Vector systems. It'll make web browsing, video calls, watching videos, streaming audio easy. Now, setup is simple, and that's the best part. Yeah, but if you need help, even better is Seacrane's customer service, U.S.-based customer support, ready to walk you through it start to finish. So, if you've got a Wi-Fi problem in your house, Seacrane has the solution. It's the Vector system. Go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Look at the Vector system. Now, if you got any questions, like I say, that great customer service, call them. 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But start by going to ccradio.com. Yes, it's available on Amazon, and maybe that's where you want to buy it for quicker shipping. But first, go to ccradio.com and read all about it. The Vector systems from the Seacrane Company. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He makes me do things I don't want to do. He makes me say things I don't want to say. And even though I want to break away, I can't stop saying I love him, can't stop doing things for him. He's got the power of love over me. He makes me stay when I don't want to stay. He makes me
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, so Cleveland Dennis took me down the wrong trail. The other night he had called me because I thought of it as the Essex. He's got the power. I know he's got the power. It's on UA 1963. So I look for the single, and I don't find it. And I'm looking, and I don't find it. Finally, hours later, it occurs to me, it's not by the Essex, it's by the Exciters. And of course, then I find it right away, as you just heard. Ellie Greenwich wrote that with Tony Powers, who was one of her writing partners before she met Jeff Barry. And they also wrote Today I Met the Boy I'm Gonna Marry and Why Do Lovers Break Each Other's Heart and all that, you know, which was the deal. Phil Spector produced the last two. But anyway, He's Got the Power is the Exciters, and it's 1963, and it is on UA. And that actually was produced by Lieber and Stoller. Yeah, you betcha. So, a pox on Cleveland Dennis. Exciters, not the Essex. All right, so, hey, but I should have caught that earlier before I was looking forever. Yeah, man, I tell you what. All right, so I think that's it this hour on WGN Radio.
Ooh, well, I gotta get over the record machine when it comes to rockin', she's a queen. We're up to dance on a Saturday night. Alone where I can hold her tight, but she lives on the 20th floor of town. The elevator's broken down, so I walk 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, flight 8, flight more. Up on the 12th, I'm starting to drag. 50 to 4, I'm already to sag. Get to the top, I'm too tired to rock. Well, she calling me up on the telephone. She come on over, honey, I'm all alone. I said, baby, you're mighty sweet, but I'm in bed with the aching feet. This went on for a couple of days, but I couldn't stay away. So I walked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 more. Up on the 12th, I'm ready to drag. 15th, 4, I'm starting to sag. Get to the top, I'm too tired to rock. Well, I sent to Chicago for repairs. Till it's a fixed, I'm using the stairs. Hope to hurry before it's too late. Love my baby too much to wait. All this climbing is getting me down. To find my corpse draped over a rail. But I climb 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, more. Up on the 12th, I'm ready to drag. Well, the 15th floor, I'm starting to sag. Get to the top. I'm too tired to ride.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and there it is, short and sweet. Record's only a minute and 39 seconds long anyway, so you got to hear it, you know, all of it. And that, of course, is Eddie Cochran, 20 Flight Rock. And this is case in point of what they did when they started putting things on CDs. What you heard was the original Liberty single from 1957. But if you pull the CD version, it doesn't sound anything like it. Yeah, well, but you got to hear it as it should be heard. And Don and Beloit wanted to, so now he has. 888-876-5593. Last night, the phones were against Naoto. Yeah, well, he's calling from Japan, so anything's possible here. And so he's trying again. So, Naoto, can you hear us?
Yeah, totally.
All right. So what's up?
Yeah. The topic hasn't changed much, but you know, one website typed me as, like, ambivert, like, not extrovert, not introvert, like, between.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, it kind of makes sense. I'm not quite sure I'm, like, introvert or extrovert, you know,
Right.
I have a characteristic of both, so... Yeah, and I think maybe Siri could hear like what I said last night.
Okay, say again.
I think I made a comment on like Siri last night.
Uh huh.
So. Yeah, that's it, and not much to talk about.
All right, that's good. All right.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Well, it is always good to hear from you. That's for sure.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right.
What's a concise comment?
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, you sound like you're right next door.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah, and I listened to last night's replay, and I heard what you said on thank you, like where you land and all that stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we're always delighted to hear from you, Naoto.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, talk to you soon. Okay, bye.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So, yeah, and it is. It is absolutely mind-boggling to see how far we've come technologically, because from Japan to here, and he did. He sounded as good as anybody who's right next door. And, who would have dreamed it 60 years ago? All right, not me, that's for sure. I didn't know where it was going, but that's one of the good things as we start counting the technology index, good and bad, right? That's one of the good ones. So Eric is in Minneapolis. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, hey, Raleigh. I'm just back for another dose of RI. That's Raleigh Intelligence.
I don't know about that. Lack of same. So what are we talking about?
Well, hey, I was wondering if you knew a site anywhere online that would have a review. You know, Chicago was in concert at Highland Park on Saturday night.
Right.
And I was just wondering if they, you know, like years ago, they used to, in the newspapers, you know, the local scribes would kind of like give a review or something.
Uh-huh.
Or you could find some kind of write-up, you know, about how the show went down and everything.
Uh-huh.
Do you know of anything like that?
I'll tell you what. Interestingly, if you go to Google right immediately, you'll get the AI version if you want it. And that's kind of funny to always read. But remember, it's coming from all the things online about the show. So you can check that out. Just Google it, because you're talking about Ravinia, and there's all sorts of stuff about that.
So all the acts that do Ravinia, they do get reviewed.
Oh sure, you know, again, not necessarily a review from somebody that might be in business to review things, as much as there's all sorts of discussions and forums. You know, on Facebook there's forums, on Reddit, on Yelp, you know, all these things, all the social sites like Yelp just updated theirs, and you literally, of course, Weird Al Yankovic was on at the same time, but you absolutely you can take a look at all of that. You will find it. Just search for it and pick any review you want. But now, as far as somebody who was quote unquote a critic, I bet you could find that, but probably a little harder.
Yeah, I'll do that. That's good advice. Hey, I was searching around on just listening to different music, and a lot of it is like things that I hear on your show. You know, like not all of it captures me, but every now and then I hear some songs from that era, that 50s, early 60s era.
Yeah.
And so the one I did like was you played it the other night, Ronnie and the Daytonas.
Was it Sandy?
Do you remember?
Was it Sandy?
Yeah, with Sandy, but
yeah.
Guess what?
What?
So I checked that song out, and I really liked it, you know, and I was reading, like, reviews or comments below that people had wrote in, and it just conjured up a lot of memories for people. It seemed like there was a lot of comments underneath, you know, and it was interesting to read the comments, because I actually knew a girl named Sandy as well, and so I was interested in it. And I kind of like that kind of beach tone, beach flavor. Being a surfer myself, I never really liked some of the hit surfer songs. They never really got to me.
Right.
But that one I do like, because it's got kind of a haunting, melodic kind of tone to it. And I just liked it.
Well, you know,
it's
interesting. Sandy was not really a big hit. A lot of people didn't, a lot of radio stations didn't even play it. The big hit by Ronnie and the Daytonas was GTO. And that was the one that everybody associates with him. But I always thought Sandy was a great little record. And, of course, Ronnie Dayton was actually Bucky Wilkin. And Bucky's mom, Mary John Wilkin, was a big deal in country music publishing and writing. And he was kind of partnered with, there were a number of people involved, but with Buzz Kaysen. But, you know, Larry Butler played organ on that stuff. And, I mean, it was kind of a who's who at the time. And the big thing, like I say, GTO had them, it went gold, had them on tour. You know, then they put out Bucket Tea, which did nothing, but, you know, and all that. And, you know, then Tiger A Go Go as Buzz and Bucky came out in 65. And the flip side was an instrumental Bay City. So, there's interesting times.
Yeah, well, Sandy, I listened to it several times over and over just to get the vibe of it. But through that, I made a discovery of another one of their songs called Beach Boy.
Uh-huh.
Do you know Beach Boy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they have, like, some female singers singing kind of like a background chorus part of the song. And they're really, really good. And I just like the – I even – looked up the lyrics, you know. I wanted to hear most of them pretty good, but I just like to see, like, the words to songs as well.
I'm surprised that the lyrics of that are online. That's interesting, because that was absolutely not a hit.
Yeah, well, that's the great thing about it. You know, I think that's the connection you and I have, because we're not, like, hit lovers so much.
Right.
Although there are some that I like, but I like a lot of songs, and I'll give you another example. The Shirelles and the Beatles did a song called Baby, It's You.
Well, of course.
But the one that I really, really get into, and I mean, I absolutely love it, is a band called Smith.
Smith, I figured you were going to say Smith, yeah. Yeah, that was a Burt Bacharach, Luther Dixon combo who wrote that. And Smith had a pretty big hit with it.
Oh, I mean, I played the three of them today, just to kind of get the background to it, because I knew, were the Shirelles the originals
yes.
to do it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so I wanted to listen to that, to be fair, and then, you know, and then I listened to the Beatles, but neither one of them come even anywhere close to the way Gail McCormick does it with Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like night and day. I mean, it's she just has like a sexiness, a soulness to it without even really trying. I mean, she doesn't move around a lot. Like, I saw a couple of her live performances of it. And, you know, she just kind of like naturally had that voice. It doesn't look like she's like trying even to do it. You know, it's just so natural.
Well, it's interesting. You might know this, you might not. The Smith version was the highest charting version of that song.
Yeah, I think I did read that. It reached number five.
Yeah, and Del Shannon discovered them, quote unquote, and he did the arranging on that record.
Yeah, I mean, I can listen to that like 24/7. I mean, that one song, as many songs as I like, and different kinds of music. That, for some reason, that song just really grabs me. I mean, it's just, I like the music behind it, too.
Yeah.
And I think that separates it from the other two versions as well. Like, the band behind her was pretty good. It's just funny how they, nothing else resonated, I guess, with people from that
well,
band. Right? Was that the only thing that you know of?
By Smith? Yeah,
there
isn't a lot by Smith. They put out, you'd be surprised, that was from that album. I think the album was called A Band Called Smith. You know, they were an L.A. group, and they were on Dunhill, which, for better or worse. And the first thing was a group called Smith. And there were a number of things like Get Together and Baby It's You and other things like that. There were a lot of people behind it. But no, in terms of anything really successful, no, not really. You just heard their one-hit wonder. You know, What Am I Going to Do? That came out afterwards, and it didn't do anything. Coming Back to Me, I'm trying to think of. I think those were the only two I can think of. But, yeah, so it was technically a one-hit wonder. as far as that is. But you're right. It's Gail McCormick's voice. Sadly, she died about 10 years ago now, and so she's no longer with her. But she did about 3 albums. One of them was on Dunhill right after Smith. But then she had one on Decca and one on I think Fantasy. But the first thing she did was on Musicland, which was an interesting little label. That was Bob Cuban and the Inman were on that, and they were distributed by Amy Malabelle, but they were a St. Louis label. So that was around the time that Bob Cuban was having hits, and she was on there, a couple singles, that didn't do anything, obviously. But yeah, so that's kind of the story. It's really a really kind of her only story. If there's more to her than that, I don't know. Like I say, born in St. Louis, died in St. Louis, but Smith was formed in Los Angeles. So anyway, and it was around for 2 years tops.
Yeah, she was attractive, and I saw her performing live and with her hippie garb in like '69, and she was really, you know, stealing the show there. But hey, one other song too that I wanted you to kind of comment on. So there's a Chicago band, the Buckinghams, obviously.
Oh yeah,
they had a number of hits, but you know, I never really got into them. I listened to those hit songs, but none of them really did anything for me. But the one I discovered, a song that I apparently wasn't very big, but I really absolutely loved it, called "Back in Love Again."
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved the heck out of that song. And do you know anything about the history of that? I mean, I guess it didn't chart very high, but man, oh man, is that just a good song. And I saw them on YouTube performing, does anyone know what time it is, the Chicago
song. Right.
In a concert there too. So they were on a kiddie show too. Like, do you know the show Kiddie A Go-Go?
Yeah.
That was like a mid-60s with Sherry Mulqueen.
Right.
And I guess her husband, Jack, was the producer of the show. And they used to play, like, the Buckinghams and New Colony 6 songs, and little kids were dancing to it and everything.
Yeah.
It's a riot. There's a couple little boys that couldn't be more than 4 or 5 years old. They were in Nehru jackets, just kind of standing there, and the camera kind of caught them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the comments was about that. So it's a riot seeing the little kids. They dance like I used to dance.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's an interesting song from the standpoint of who wrote it, of Back in Love Again. It was not a guy who was in the group. It was Marty Greb. And Marty Greb was a guy from Chicago and, you know, a songwriter and a producer and all that kind of stuff. And he played a lot of things, keyboards and horns and all that. And he wrote it. And he was in a little group called H.P. Lovecraft, which was kind of a psychedelic thing and all that. But he wrote that song, and it was released as a single. Columbia released that as a single in the spring of '68. So you know, it came out, but it didn't do anything, to say the least. But yeah, Marty wrote that. James Holvey, who I've got to have on because he wrote a lot of the Buckinghams' big hits, and some of his stuff I just love. So in fact, he put out a new CD recently. So I've actually got it in my purse, of all things. So I need to get back in touch with him and have him on, so we'll talk about the Buckinghams.
I didn't know that James William Guercio produced them. As well as he was the Chicago producer in Chicago's early years and stuff. I think all the way up to the 11th or 12th album or something, mm-hmm. Guercio producing Chicago. But I didn't know that he had a history with the Buckinghams.
Absolutely. So, he did "Don't You Care." That was one of my favorite. I love "Don't You Care." And the reason that there was a connection is, remember that Guercio was a staffer on Columbia. So Jimmy Guercio, you know, worked right there at BlackRock. And so his deal was any of that stuff that came out, he was going to be involved with. you know, like some of the, he was a session player too. He was on like the Chad and Jeremy's stuff that was on Columbia. And, but I mean, a lot of things. But anyway, he was hired as a staff producer in about 67. And so that would be like Susan, Don't You Care? Hey, Baby, They're Playing Our Song and all that kind of stuff. But that's where it came. And of course, it was Garcia who shortened Chicago Transit Authority to Chicago and worked with them on Chicago too. But when you're saying Columbia in those years, you can look around and find him on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's just amazing when you just get online and start looking at listening to songs and things like that. The discoveries that I make and the things that you learn that you didn't know before.
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, listening to your show all the time. I mean, I'm just like gathering up stuff, and I'm still trying to gather more about yourself, because I kind of know you from many, many years ago. I think when I first called you, you know, I asked you if you worked in Philadelphia, because
yeah.
I think that's when I first heard you. I was living in Maryland
yeah.
at the time, in Prince Gorgeous County.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
And so I was in that area, and I heard your over show, I think, at night at the time. And you know, I kind of remember it, and then all of a sudden I hear you on GN, and I don't know how long you've been on the GN deal, but
5 years.
You know, 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay, congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just started listening, and I said, hey, there, you know, there's Raleigh James. So I need to kind of like look up your bio and find out more about you and stuff, because I mean, I saw some pictures of you online.
Yeah.
And you know, you're really easy on the eyes. I mean,
well, they're old. Believe me, the pictures are old, number one. Number two, Wikipedia is largely fiction, but it's a lot of fun. So, you know, what can I say?
I can see the object of a lot of radio people's attention. I mean, like, because there probably weren't very many women in the business during the years that you were, like,
not,
doing that work.
Yeah, not when I started, that's for sure. You have ended the half hour, so I hope you're going to call me again soon.
I will. I enjoyed it. It was a kick.
Okay, thanks.
Ass.
Okay, good. Okay, bye. Okay.
There was a man alone.
I'm Raleigh James. That's painful, I'll tell you. It's Neil Sedaka, who I love. But during Neil Sedaka's cold period, he was doing a number of things. And he actually recorded that. His favorite classical composer, and he has one because, you know, he's a classical musician, was Chopin. Just loves it. And that's who inspired the chorus. And Roberta Flack inspired part of it. But the interesting thing, Sedaka was actually chosen to perform in Russia, and this is probably the late 50s, classical, obviously, and because he was good, and he won all sorts of things. And when Russia found out that he was involved with rock and roll, the devil's music, clearly, they rescinded the offer. Yeah, so he didn't get to go, but nonetheless, Solitaire is the weirdest record, and why am I playing it? Well, I see John in Covington. All it says is Neil Sedaka Solitaire, so I guess we're going to talk about it. But what's interesting to me is over 120 people recorded this. And I think the first time it was a single was The Searchers. And then, of course, The Carpenters. And Karen Carpenter hated that song. And her opinion of it never changed. Richard convinced her to do it because it showcased her vocals and all that. But there was no way that she wanted anything to do with it. And, of course, like I say, this was Neil Sedaka's really cold period. And then, when he had written the hit that started out, big hit for Captain and Tennille, Love Will Keep Us Together, and he was, you know, getting up and being popular again, he put out that album, Sedaka's Back, and he put that on it again. So, yeah, so if you missed it the first time, they clobber it with you the second time. But I don't get it. I hate it. But I think John and Covington might like it. So welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh, I just thank you for doing that. I sure didn't request it, but thank you.
Horrible,
anyway.
Horrible song. But, you know, Neil Sedaka considered this a spiritual experience because, like I say, I told you why he wrote it. He didn't write the lyrics, and a friend of his wrote the lyrics, Phil Cody. And
you're right.
Phil Cody was going through this divorce and so and playing solitaire. And so he came up with the lyrics. But I saw Sedaka interviewed, and he said, it was a spiritual experience. And I'm like, yeah, it was for me, too. I went to hell for 2 minutes and 36 seconds.
Oh my goodness. Well, really, thank you. Anyway, could you tell, did that record chart by Sedaka...
It wasn't a single by Sedaka. It was an album. It was an album cut twice.
Okay.
It was the second time, like I say, was on Sedaka's Back, which was a big hit. But the first one came out in 1972, and Neil Sedaka was cold as ice, to quote Foreigner, at that point. As far as I know, he never had that out as a single. And so,
okay, the Carpenters version,
yeah,
off of the album cut.
Well, no, that was a single too, I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I think I'm afraid it was.
Yeah.
It's
amazing to me because it sounds like Karen Carpenter and Neil Sedaka, they're singing in the same key.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I do know that she hated the song.
Really, it sounds so good. Well, okay, Chopin, capital Chopin.
Yes.
I believe he was Polish. Yes.
Yes.
And nobody can hardly believe me when I spell the name Chopin. I said that doesn't work.
Well, come on, Frederick. Yeah, good old Frederick, and he was Polish, and he actually is. 1800s, mid-1800s
right.
for the most part, which,
right.
you know, a lot of these guys, 1600s, 1700s, like I say about the classical stations, greatest hits of the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s. Yeah, you know, he was your basic child prodigy, and I think that his good friend was Liszt, you know, Franz.
Oh, I know, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, for whatever reason, I don't know why, and I'm willing to admit it probably shows my low-rent disposition, but I hate classical music.
No, I know you do, but...
The only thing worse might be chamber music.
I just got to tell you, you might hate classical or this or that. I don't even know if this is classical. But Richard Carpenter wrote a tribute to his sister. It's called Karen's Theme, and it's strictly an instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
But he puts every note he puts on that album. It's called Time. You can feel the pain in his heart
mm-hmm.
just by listening to that album. It's Karen's Theme. It's a beautiful piece of work. Anyway, on the lighter side, went and had lunch today and made a small wager, $20 for Detroit Tigers to win the pennant, $30 for them to win the World Series, 2.5 to 1 for the pennant. 7.5, I couldn't believe it, 7.5 to 1 to win the World Series. And they probably got the best team in baseball, and I'm getting 7.5.
All right. All right.
Thanks, Raleigh.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. All right.
You're great. So, thank you.
Yeah, it's interesting about baseball. Of course, you know, I'm pretty disgusted with it because this was America's pastime, and what I loved about it was something the family did together. You go to the ballpark with the kids, and you get some hot dogs, you watch the games. Who can afford to do that anymore? You know, they're having their celebrity boxes and their corporate boxes and all that, and that's why the minor league teams, it's great. It's still a very much a family experience. But for Major League Ball, man, you got to mortgage your house for that if you're the average worker. And that's, to me, not what baseball was about. So anyway, but it was interesting. We were somewhere earlier, and I guess about 3 p.m, and the game was on. And John pointed out, he says, you know, I'm watching this baseball game. I don't even know who the teams are, because it was way across the room. He said, but there is absolutely no one in the stands. And I said, yeah, who could afford it? So 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. And, okay, so here it is. We're going to have Jim from Richmond, but on the screen it says, Sherry in Naperville wants to talk about Jim before you get Jim on the phone. Really? All right, so be kind. All right, Sherry, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, I'm from Sherry.
So here you are.
Okay, great. So I just have a compare and contrast opinion on Stacy, who went through a hard time after Ronaldo died, and she listened to everything he said. And a lot of us called up to also give her additional resource ideas, that kind of thing. And she made it through, and she's happy now where she is. I mean, she went through the whole debacle and time constraints and everything to accomplish everything. And so I give high marks to her and kudos. But I'm sorry. Jim from Richmond is grating on my nerves. First off, I don't want to hear about his sister's uterus on the radio at all. I had a problem with tampons.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just move on.
Okay. And I don't think anyone really called in to give him additional advice other than you.
Several people. And frankly, okay, let me say that it's not, I understand where you're going with this, but it's not entirely comparable. And yes, kudos to Stacy, no doubt about it. But believe me, when you are alone and facing total blindness, this is a whole magnitude of hurt. But, you know, that may be. But as I say, my only interest now is talking to Jim about what he's doing to be self-sufficient. Anything else he has to say,
yes,
I don't even want to hear it. I know. Well, then we're gonna have short conversations from here on out. That's what I'm saying, because
okay,
that's the only thing I care about.
Good.
Yeah.
All
so
right,
worry
because,
not.
He doesn't seem to take up the ball.
Well, it's hard, and I understand that. But what I'm saying is, I don't care. This is literally a life struggle, and he's got to do it. And if he won't do it, well, that's fine. But then it's got to be on somebody else's show, because I can't go there.
But I don't want to hear him.
You're not going to. Yeah, you're not going to.
Okay, great. Because, you know, like I said, Stacy took up a lot of your advice and our advice.
Yeah, and again, it was not really comparable, and I know it was tough for Stacy. Don't get me wrong, but that's a magnitude difference.
No, but she couldn't walk, and yeah, she couldn't go down the stairs to do her own laundry,
and then she
had the church group or whatever come. And she is spiritual and faithful, and always talks about prayer, and he doesn't.
Well,
and I don't say that something that is required, but it's something that is missing to have faith.
Well, you know, I understand that, but you know, from my vantage point, I'm not going there. I'm just saying that if Jim elects not to step up and become independent, then his life will become just a hell. And you know, we've all talked about he's gotten a lot of advice from people, especially people who are blind, and it's up to him. It's up to him to decide how he's going to handle it.
I also feel very sorry for his brother, who's handling his own life, his sister's hospitalization, and then when Jim needs to go somewhere. I mean, he should contact Uber to go wherever he needs to go.
Well, it's a little further than that, I'm afraid. But, you know, that's something, too. You know, do you want to continue to live where you live? Because if you're going to be independent, it may be that you can't live where you're living. that it just doesn't work. So there's all sorts of decisions he has to make. And as far as I'm concerned, the only gift I can give him is whatever it takes to get him to do this, because nothing else matters.
Yeah. But my phrase is, and then one day, an angel tapped me on my shoulder. And you have been Stacy's angel on her shoulder. And you're also June's.
Well, we'll see. Yeah.
All right. I hope he listens.
I hope so, too. I want him to have a productive, happy life. But if he doesn't do the heavy lifting to become fully independent, and it's difficult, but he's got to do it. There are no excuses, and I don't care anymore. That's it. So
I also want him to know that he is, believe it or not, lucky enough to have been born seen versus someone born blind.
Well, don't say that. Let me tell you, of all my blind friends, and I have several, it is much easier if you're born blind. Much easier. So,
I don't know that.
Well, trust me. Everyone I know.
I will trust you.
Yeah, it's 100.
I'll trust
yeah,
you over right. about everybody.
Yeah, it's 100%. I haven't ever heard anybody blind versus losing their sight, especially later. You know, it's one thing to lose it as a young child, but later, man, it is just horrendous. Don't get me wrong, but your options are not many. You have to take it up and do it, and you have to get that spirit in your soul where nothing else matters. And I don't hear that from Jim yet, but maybe we will.
I just want to let you know this other thing, and maybe you can look it up for him. But in the last week or two, the staff, active and gainers on the NYSE, I think, was EYEN, and it stands for INOVA, I think.
Okay.
I don't know why they went up. I don't know if they have a new solution to something, but maybe that would help. I haven't looked it up, like I said, to find out what they're doing.
They're developing something called Optijet, and it's a dispensing platform. And it's on NASDAQ at this point. And here's the deal. One of the things is they did a 1-for-80 reverse stock split this year. And so that's what kept them on.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't count then.
Right. So that's...
You mean reverse spot.
Yes, that's exactly what I mean.
That's a loser.
Yeah, all right. So, I don't know. All right. Good deal. Thank you.
Okay. Love you.
All right.
John, and thank you.
Good to talk to you. Yeah, unfortunately, INOVA has been very volatile and huge price swings. So, you know, if you're catching the news that it's really going up, well, just look at it in perspective and see that it probably was coming down the last time you checked it. So, yeah, it's volatile, to say the least. All right, so we've got what here? Let me say goodbye to John. All right, and now Jim in Richmond. All right, Jim, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Riley.
All right, hi.
I'm calling tonight to apologize for all the questions that I was trying to get to help my sister, but I'm forgetting all that. Number two is I'm very appreciative to you and all your listeners to help me get through what I'm going through. And I just want you to know that I'm using a lot of the things that they're telling me I should do.
Good.
And I thank you very much, and I thank all the listeners.
Good.
And my prayers are going out to Fran. And number two is I tried to call last night to tell you the good news, and the good news is my grandson is coming to Skokie the week of the 20th because his grandmother is moving to Miami, and they're coming up to help empty the house in Skokie.
Great.
And I want you to know that I'm looking forward to spending one day down in Skokie in between all my appointments for my right eye on that week.
Good.
So
now,
I just want
is the grandmother from, is this like your ex-wife, or is this the other side of the family?
No, this is my daughter-in-law's mother.
Okay, her mother.
And
okay.
I went to their house in the past to help them move from her daughter to move to I'm elsewhere. Lost here.
Right, elsewhere. All right.
The Madison, okay. Where she got her degree.
Okay.
And I carried a lot of their stuff from that house to Madison for them, but that was in the past. But, you know, I just want everyone to know that I'm trying my best.
Well,
and
I thank
everyone for their support.
All right.
And I'm sorry that I upset you the other night.
Well, we're looking forward to good news. That's all. And
right.
and just
and,
short reviews as far as that. But, yes,
right.
enjoy your grandson. That'll be wonderful.
And that's a short review.
Yes.
And I think I don't know what else to say. But thank you for everything you've done and everything your listeners have done.
All right.
And I hope everyone is well.
And you too. And keep us apprised of your progress. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. We want to know. All right. So so good deal. And that's Jim. And I really pray that he'll follow through and do this. But I know seeing his grandson's just very important to him. And that's a wonderful respite as well. So. But let's all together hope that Jim takes up the mantle and develops the attitude of nothing else matters but this. Now, nothing else matters for me except knowing what time it is, and clearly I don't. So once again, I have Adam to save me. Thursday night is Bob saving me. Well, tonight is Adam saving me. And yes, we are in commercial breaks, and so I think we're going to be picking it up right after the news. Yeah, I know. It's a failing. What can I tell you? Because I guess part of what I do is I sit here and I talk to you guys, and maybe one of the reason you like listening, maybe not, I don't know, is that I forget I'm on the radio. That's exactly what happens. And then all of a sudden, oh, it's news time. Well, how about that? All right, so we'll get to Stacy, we'll get to James and to you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Saturday night in Toledo, Ohio is like being nowhere at all. All through the day, how the hours rush by. You sit in the park and you watch the grass die. Oh, but after the sunset, the dusk and the twilight, when shadows of night start to fall, they roll back the sidewalks precisely at 10. And people who live there are not seen again. Just two lonely truckers from Great Falls, Montana, and a salesman from places unknown says unknown.
All right.
All huddled together in downtown Toledo to spend their big night all alone. You ask how I know of Toledo, Ohio. Well, I spent a week there one day. They've got entertainment to dazzle your eyes. Go visit the bakery and watch the buns rise. Oh, but let's not forget that the folks of Toledo unselfishly gave us the scale. No sprains, honest weight, that's the promise they made. So smile and be thankful next time you get weighed.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. John Denver, Saturday Night in Toledo, 1975 on RCA. It was an album cut, An Evening with John Denver. It was recorded live at in Hollywood, actually, Hollywood Bowl. And I don't remember who requested it. I have it down on my list, but whoever you are, I hope you enjoyed it. It actually is a great song all the way around. So, 888-876-5593. Stacy in Algonquin is back on WGN Radio.
Raleigh, hi. Who was that caller that mentioned my name and
Stacy, that was Sherry.
Sherry.
Yeah.
What was she saying about me with my husband?
What she was saying is how well you did, how much you overcame, and how you listened to everybody's advice and wound up in a much better place. She was just talking about all you went through.
Oh,
And so what she was comparing it to in her mind was that you rose to the occasion and did what you had to do to make your life better after the unfortunate death of your husband, where in her mind that Jim wasn't really rising to the occasion to become fully independent, which he needs to do. Now, as I explained to her, it's not really comparable. You know, when you're alone and you're going blind, this is a whole different world. But at the same time, she was just being very complimentary towards you, saying that you did the heavy lifting, because you know, here you were, you couldn't get out, you couldn't even get the mail, you couldn't go up the stairs, you were totally alone, and you didn't let it get you down. You did what you had to do. You moved. You're in a better situation. Your life has turned around, and that's because you took the bull by the horns and did it.
Right. Okay, I'm calling because I just
yeah, that's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Raleigh, for explaining.
Oh, sure. No, it was good, not bad. It was very good. She was talking about it because you know a lot of people called in, gave you advice. You listened to all of it. And, through some of that, it was very, very hard for you. But you decided that you were going to do it no matter what. And that's what we're all praying that Jim will do, that he will make it his only priority.
Exactly.
There are so many aids that are out there to make you independent when you cannot see. But he's got some vision now. This is the time to get all your ducks in a row. And who knows, maybe you'll have to move if it comes to that, because you can't spend your life depending upon other people to do things for you. You've got to be independent,
right,
or it's not a life worth living. And so, I know it's a terrible thing because it's tough to do, and it's very easy to get distracted and worry about this family member, that family member. Oh, I can't do it because of this, or I can't do it because of that. And so finally,
right,
we just said, all right, there's no more I can't do it, because all we ever want to hear is what did you do and how are you becoming independent. Keep us, let us know about your progress.
Right.
So,
I always say blessings everything.
Absolutely. And that's also what Sherry was saying, is that, you know, you have a spiritual connection, and you absolutely use that as a higher power to get you through the bad times. And so... Yeah. So, no, absolutely. It was all complimentary. Every bit of it.
Okay. And thank you for playing the songs, Raleigh.
Always. And I've got more coming, believe me. If not tonight, they're all coming. I haven't lost them. But you heard James Brown last night, so we'll keep going.
Yes.
All right, good deal.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Stacey.
If I don't talk to you, you know, you have a wonderful weekend with John, and you take care of yourself.
All right. You too. Okay, bye.
Thank you, Raleigh.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Good deal. Yeah, it wasn't easy. It wasn't. And Stacey rose to the occasion. So it's you know, the temptation to just give up is so great. But, that's just not the answer. And so I bet that, you know, Jim is going to come around and get to that point where all he cares about is how do I become independent. And he will. So there. All right, James on the South Side. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello.
Hey, James.
How are you?
I'm here. How about yourself?
Well, I can't complain. I came across a story about a man who ended up in a hospital. They had found, I guess June the 15th, you guys found him sent to St. Mary's Hospital in Santa Monica, I think it was. He's at least the only thing, no ID, no number, and nobody's come to even visit or even inquire in, I guess, as long as in 3 weeks or so, 3-4 weeks.
Well, so, where is he? Is this
he's still in the hospital?
So is this the guy who was found unconscious in California?
Yes.
All right. So yeah, he was on a California street, and he's been in this hospital bed for 3 weeks. No one knows who he is, where he came from, whether anyone's looking for him. And so he's in his mid-40s, and he was rushed to Long Beach, and Dignity Health, which runs St. Mary's, showed a picture of him unconscious and all that, and they were hoping somebody would say, hey, I know who this is. And also he was found on Anaheim Street between Daisy and Pacific. So, you know, we're pretty much talking about the Long Beach area. And no ID, no wallet, no documents. So no one has come forward. They believe he's Hispanic. They believe he's about 5 foot two. And they believe he's about 165 pounds. And brown eyes, brown hair, gray, brown and gray beard. And no tattoos, nothing distinguishing. And they're not saying what's wrong with them, of course, because HIPAA and medical privacy. But so it's unknown how critical his condition is, or if he's deteriorating as time goes on, or whatever. So, yeah, they've been making making that public appeal in Long Beach for anybody who recognizes him, who has any information to come forward. Now, here is the problem. There are thousands of unidentified patients admitted to U.S. hospitals every year. And usually it's like county general, like in L.A., it's L.A. County USC Med. They see up to 1,000 unidentified patients a year. And, you know, so I remember last year they were talking about somebody who was surviving on life support and they didn't know how to find anybody or what have you. They're trying to put a name to it. I don't know if that case ever resolved, but this is not unusual, and especially when you are, the other guy, by the way, was in the hospital for like 5 months. No one came by. No one ever knew anything. But, you know, if you're homeless or if you're an illegal immigrant and you're carrying false identification, if you didn't come here with family, there's so many reasons that this, unfortunately, this is not as unusual as some people made it out to be.
Oh, okay.
It's terrible. But what do you do? You know, again, we've got a huge homeless population, and especially in California. And one of the biggest problems there, like in the San Francisco Bay Area, is there were always areas like Richmond where you found lots of affordable housing. It was largely African-American. But, you know, what's happened now is it gentrified. So those people were pushed out of those homes. And so you've got people where they've got nowhere to go if they didn't own the home, if they were renting, you know, it was sold and all that and rehabbed, you know, there's just no affordable housing. I mean, that's pretty much true for the entire Bay Area. Where do you live? And, you know, the other thing is, of course, you know, a lot of people talk about illegals. Obviously, it's on the news nonstop. I'm not even going to weigh in on this. But what I am going to say is that if you come here in that situation and you don't have any foundation and you don't have any support, if something happens to you, who's going to know?
Yeah, you're pretty much, you're nowhere, man.
Right. Who's going to know? And so the reason this became public, and especially the case in Riverside County, because there was a case there last year where, again, I think the guy's still alive. And he came through their doors last September, all right? And he's attached to a ventilator. And they've done everything. They've, you know, social worker teams and hospital case management, and they've gone through every resource they have, the Riverside Police Department. And here's this guy, you know, 9 months in a hospital bed. The other thing is, who's paying for that? You know, so... You know, and what are they going to do? They're not going to, you know, remove the ventilator and put him on the street. So, you know, when you have a patient who's somewhere for 5 months, 6 months, 9 months, what do you do? And in some cases, they're trauma victims, you know. And so, you know, the one story in Long Beach, because they made sure it got to all the social media, a lot of people are talking about it. But what they're not talking about is how common this is.
Yeah. Yeah, that... And unfortunately, like, okay, even if you like, even, okay, in our region, like, okay, if it ends up a stroke, that's the big one here. Or Providence, although it's had some problems with this air conditioner. No.
Well, but, you know, wherever you're going to wind up, if you have no connection to the city where somebody's going to know you, you're going to be unidentified if you have no IDs and all that. You know, of course, they'll take your DNA, and you know, if you're a criminal, you're probably in the system. But fortunately, most people aren't criminals. So what do? You know, you put out the pictures and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I don't know. That's why, you know, we don't talk about it for 3 hours.
Yeah,
my head would pop off. I have no idea. But but I'm glad you brought it up, because this is not an isolated case.
Okay. I was going to put another song on my list, but then I said, no, you already got too many.
All right.
Maybe.
Well, no, yeah. That's all right. But what's the song? I mean, we can add to the list. Let me find a... I've actually put you down on a typed piece of paper. Well, okay, so after Hello Walls, that's the last one. What are you adding?
Okay, we'll add another Patsy.
Oh God, you'll get everything she's ever done. Okay, what one?
Okay, I was going to say you took them off my hands.
All right, I know the song. Okay.
Okay, take care.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Appreciate it. All right, not tall, but I know the song. All right, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and I explained earlier that, Sam had called and we, asked us that we didn't want to go into any details on his granddaughter because he's fearful. He's fearful for his daughter's life and all sorts of things like that, and so we do understand that. But Sam is calling. So, Sam, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, thank you so much for taking my call, and I want to say first and foremost that I trust you and John implicitly, and I would be more than willing to share anything that I know, but I was advised by our attorneys to not share anything publicly,
So
I'm just trying to follow their advice.
No, and that's good. I needed to know that much, though, because originally it said on the screen that you just didn't want to talk about it, and too many people have been praying and need answers, and so earlier I opened the show and I gave them answers. You know, it's a situation where your family's being threatened, the attorneys don't want anything said, the court cases have not gone in her favor so far, this is a morass, and we need to keep you in our prayers, but we're not going to get details.
Yeah, and I appreciate you so much understanding that because it's been a hardship.
Of course it is. It's
convoluted to me. Anytime I think about it or pray about it, and it keeps me up 24/7 pretty much, but I just, it doesn't make common sense is what it amounts to.
Right.
So
we
have to wait for the...
This is where you turn it over to the Lord. I mean, I'm not trying to get you...
I have been.
Yeah, and so, you were asking for prayers, so that's why I felt comfortable saying that, because that's really all you can do at this point, because your lawyers are saying you do anything else, you're in harm's way. You don't want to do anything else. But, it's mind-boggling, and that's why, you trust in Him to work it out the way it's supposed to be.
Yes, and thank you, Raleigh. And it's like, I think today is like day 104, if I remember right. I've lost so much sleep.
I fully understand. And at this point, when the system is operating against you, and it sounds like, and I don't want details, but it sounds like that court case clearly operated against you, it doesn't do you any good to focus on this because there's nothing that you're doing that's going to turn this around. You've got lawyers. They're fighting it. All you can do, like I say, is have faith and pray.
And hope.
And pray for the best possible outcome for the child. And then you you have to kind of clear your mind because this will drive you crazy.
Yeah, and it is driving me crazy, so I agree with you 100%. But actually, I wanted to say part of the reason I called in tonight was I heard comments earlier about Jim. And, while I agree with some and don't agree with others, I just want to say that anytime I called in, I can recall Jim, and I want to. I'm so thankful for him because there were different times where he called in after I called in or something and said, "We're praying for your granddaughter."
Yes.
And so, despite his blindness, he still has very much value. And my heart is with him, and I just wanted him to know that.
Oh, of course that's true. No, I'm staying on him because he's got to get to the point where there's fire in his soul so that he helps himself, because he can have a life.
Oh, no, I'm not disagreeing with the other elements. I'm just saying there's a lot
absolutely.
Of the ingredients.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So so it's a twofold thing.
Life is not black and white. It's all shades of gray, and that's both good and bad when you get right down to it. But I'll tell you what I think you're feeling, and this is apart from the actual case, but we tend to believe in this country that the courts will right wrongs. And it doesn't have to be your situation, whatever the situation, we believe that there's justice. And what we find out in many ways is it's the game of court. And it's like Milton Bradley or Parker Brothers with the rules and all that. And it may be that all the things you thought you could turn to and get relief might not be there for you. And when you discover that firsthand, your mind goes to control, alternate, delete. It's just like, how could this happen? And you're not alone.
You're right. Oh, that's very well said, and I appreciate that. And I would add to it, the movie Citizen Kane would be a perfect example.
Absolutely. I think you've ended the half hour, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you,
Okay, thanks.
Raleigh.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. All right, that's where we'll pick it up on WGN Radio.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer wine is really made from all these things.
I walked in town on silver spurs that jingled too. A song that I had only sang to just a few. She saw my silver spurs and said, let's pass some time, and I will give to you summer wine. Oh, summer wine.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer wine is really made from all these things. Take off your silver spurs and help me pass the time, and I will give to you summer wine. Summer wine.
My eyes grew and my lips, they could not speak. I tried to
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So you're saying to yourself, that's not Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood, and you'd be right. That's Lana Del Rey and Barry O'Neill. Lana and Barry. And that was Universal Music released that as a 7-inch, actually, last year. But what's interesting about that is when it came out, for the genre, they said classical. Okay, if you say so. All right, so, but the reason I played it was that Jeffrey from Portland had requested we play that, and I'd had it on my list for some time, and there we go. See, I get to it eventually. There you have it. Hopefully Jeffrey's listening and heard it. All right, so we got Fran, and she's in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio. What's up, Fran?
Hey, Raleigh. Well, I am going to try to be as tactful as I can, considering that I am very angry.
Okay.
With some of the things that Sherry in Naperville said.
Okay.
First of all, I share your frustration as far as Jim is concerned, and I'm sure you know that.
Yes.
You know, I'm blind from birth. I still have my challenges now, some new challenges that I've never had to face before.
Right.
We have given Jim countless, resources and so forth. But what Sherry is not understanding, and Sherry, I'm sorry, you're talking about things you know nothing about. First of all, being blind from birth is a picnic compared to going blind when you're in your 70s. For one thing, when I was younger, I used to work with people at the Veterans Hospital in Palo Alto who were going blind.
Yeah.
And I was a volunteer, and one of the things I did was to try to help people find alternate ways of doing things.
Right.
Well, you know, some people are very visual, and some people are a little more open to auditory learning and doing things, you know, mm-hmm. by ear. and people say things about, like, oh, you must have much better hearing than, you know, the sighted people. No, we don't have better hearing. We know how to use it to compensate for the fact that we don't have sight.
Right.
Jim doesn't know that. He's a very visual person. He gets very upset when he cannot see the people that he's speaking with. He needs to learn a whole new way to relate to people. He needs to learn a whole new way to relate to life, and he is holding on to that sight with everything he's got. And I've seen people do that.
Yeah.
And yes, it's going to be hard. And yes, I get frustrated sometimes because I think, you know, he's not using these resources we're giving him. And I don't, I have to make some changes in my life that I don't want to make, and I'm holding on.
Right.
To it with everything I've got, you know, and but I realize that I have to do these things. And also, not everybody is a Christian. And that does not make them a bad person.
Oh, of course not.
Not everybody has the faith that she has. I applaud Stacy. Don't get me wrong. She's come a long way. And, you know, sometimes I used to think the same thing. You know, I'd say, oh, you know, why? It's, you know, but she did it.
Yes.
And I'm hoping with everything I have, and I'm not a religious person, I will admit that out front, but I am hoping with everything I have that Jim will, you know, will start to do some of these things. But, you know, some of the things that she said were, I feel, extremely insensitive. She knows nothing about this kind of thing. She's making assumptions. You know, it is not, I mean, if I lost Gary, I would be devastated, no doubt. I know I would.
Oh, yeah.
And I would have a hard time picking up the pieces and putting my life back together. But it is a whole different thing. He has to learn a whole different way to relate to the world, and he has to learn. It's scary.
Oh, it is,
and I understand that.
Right.
Even though I get frustrated, just as you do, because I think, you know, God, we've given him. In fact, today, for example, Gary signed up for older individuals who are blind.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave him that number. They will offer him not only help in, like, they'll label, and they don't have to label it in Braille. I know he doesn't read Braille, but, you know, they will find ways to work with him, label things that he needs to be labeled so he can be, you know, self-sufficient in cooking.
Mm-hmm.
They will they offer mobility instruction, and they offer technology training.
Which is wonderful.
And these are some things, I mean, we've been blind since birth, and yet, you know, we're still calling to see, you know, what, because we're not fortunate enough that we don't, you know, I kind of feel bad for his brother, too, because his brother has so much on his plate with his sister and with his own wife, and, you know, and yet, you know, he drives Jim everywhere he needs to go. And Jim, unfortunately, I have to say, you had a resource for transportation. And, you know, if, I don't know how to say this any other way than to say that, you know, after a while, something's going to give. And unfortunately, the thing that might give will be you.
Oh, no, I 100%. And, yeah, my frustration is it's never going to happen until he has that fire in his belly that it's like, I'll be damned if I can't do this, I'll do it. You know, that drive where no matter what, you're going to overcome it and you're going to do it. Because until you get to that point, it's just too daunting. You know, it's hard. It's much easier to say, well, I can't do it today because something's going on or whatever. Sure. But at some point, you just need to develop that drive. And I don't know how you develop that in someone. I think it's something he has to develop in himself.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've seen people on both ends of the spectrum. I've seen people, you know, just like Jim, but, you know, his main concern is seeing. And unfortunately, I guess when I was a little girl, my mother took me to doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor. And one time the doctor shined a light in my eyes or did something and asked if I could see it. And I don't know what seeing is. You know, you're right. It's like putting your elbow out in the air. It doesn't see anything.
Right.
And she finally got one doctor that said to her, you know, you can spend all this money you don't have. And she was a single mom.
Hello? Fran? Come back, Fran. All right, I don't know what's going on with Fran's phone. We're gonna put her on hold. And Fran, if you're there, and I don't know, I guess call us back. But yeah, right in the middle of that. Aren't cell phones wonderful? All right, that's where we'll pick it up, I hope, in Moments with Fran. We'll be right back to it, I hope, on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, we're going to forgo the bumper. I think we have Fran back. I don't know what happened to her phone, but we're gonna try this again. And Fran, are you there?
I am here. I don't know what happened either. Gary told me that I was cut off. I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Away.
No. We got a lot of it, but all of a sudden there was just dead silence. I thought, what happened? So,
I have no idea. In fact, my phone didn't even disconnect. When John came on the line, I was still there.
Wow.
So, anyway, I don't remember where I left off or what you heard last. I was talking about my mother, you know, when I was a baby.
Taking you to every doctor, and finally a doctor said, you know, you can spend all the money you've got, and you don't have a lot, but, and that's about when it cut.
Okay, because it got to the point where I lied. Because, you know, they would ask me.
You said, I see this. Oh, my God. Yeah.
And, you know, then my mother comes in and she says, why did you lie to the doctor? And I said, because I don't want to go to the doctor anymore.
Right.
I'm tired of them poking at my eyes. I'm tired, you know, it is like, and it was kind of like, I'm okay the way I am. Why aren't you?
Exactly.
And she got a doctor who said to her, look, your daughter is blind. You can spend all your money trying to find a solution for this. Or you can raise her to be as independent as possible. There are resources out there. You know, and she, I mean, she made her mistakes, but, you know, she took that to heart.
Thank God.
And she, you know, in some way she was overprotective and there were some things, but she did it. And, but it's hard for someone, it's like learning a whole new language, a whole new way to relate to the world. And not only that, he doesn't have the resources that I had when I was young. And now we just got a hold of this old, I did tell you that already, so I won't repeat. I think I said that we got a hold of this place called Older Individuals Who Are Blind.
Yes, which is wonderful.
And they offer all these wonderful things. And I know Stephanie gave him the number for the Wisconsin, I can't remember whether it's a blind center or a lighthouse or whatever it is, right there in Wisconsin, right where he is. But he doesn't want to, you know, he's fighting this with everything he's got, but he's fighting the wrong fight. He's fighting, to be able to do things the way he's always done them, and that's not going to work.
Right.
But
and it's understandable. Very understandable.
Yeah, but Sherry really shouldn't be talking about things that she knows nothing about.
Yeah.
Right. And
by the way, know. on the screen it says Sherry wants a rebuttal. So.
oh my
so,
God.
So hang on.
Oh
don't,
my God.
Don't,
I did not.
Don't go away. All right, I could actually.
Okay, I hope I can hold out through this because I'm very angry.
All right, so. Then I'll put you on hold. I won't have you talk to her together. I won't okay. do that. All right, so we'll put Fran on hold and see what Sherry has to say. And be succinct, Sherry. I've only got a couple minutes, so that's all you got.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Go right ahead. You got about 2 minutes.
Okay, fine. Fran has not been through what I've been through with my sister.
Is your sister blind?
My sister is not blind.
Irrelevant.
But I always had a question in my mind, would I rather be blind or deaf? And
irrelevant.
No.
Okay.
But my sister was born, apparently, I mean... When my mother with my 5 foot...
What does this have to do with what Fran is...
Point is, my sister was born very handicapped. She is speechless. The doctor said she will never be able to walk. I taught her how to walk. I taught her how to walk upstairs because
right.
my mother thought it was faster to bring her up to the... bathroom.
Okay, I'm running out of time. What I was asking you to address is the comments about directly about your viewpoint of helping somebody who is facing blindness, not anything else.
No. Fran said I'm off the charts.
Well, yeah.
And my point is that she has no idea about the sacrifices other people make to make handicapped people.
Understood, and that has nothing to do with it. Trust me. But thanks for your call. I appreciate it. All right. So not trying to beat up on Sherry, but that's not the point here. So, I know what you're
totally irrelevant.
Right. I know what you're feeling.
Totally irrelevant. I mean,
exactly.
Just because one person who is disabled is able to do something. I mean, I've had my struggles. It was easier being born blind, but. You know, one person, just because one person can do something, people are different. They have different abilities, different capacities.
Of course.
And, you know, and so on and so forth. And, you know, great for her sister, wonderful for her sister. But that has nothing to do with what I'm saying about what she said regarding Jim.
Absolutely. No, I get that big time. And that's not about beating up on Sherry. It's just, and I hear your ire, is the complete... lack of not only understanding, but lack of knowledge about what she was speaking when it came to blind people, because that was apparent to me, too, that it just wasn't there.
Yeah, and I don't know. I was sitting there thinking about Jim hearing all of this, and that's not helping. You know,
no.
Yes, I understand. You know, and I get just as frustrated sometimes with him, and I understand what you're saying. You know, we want to hear what you're doing to make yourself more independent.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you keep depending on other people for rides and things like that, even your family, and we're not lucky enough. We do not have a family here. We don't have a brother who can drive us everywhere.
Right.
And even if we did, right now I'm dealing with that because I know that I need to get back on paratransit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm afraid to do that because I had the heart attack.
Yeah.
And because one time when I went to the cardiologist when I was coming home, my gums started bleeding really bad. And I had to call them and beg them to let me come back. And they wanted me to go to the emergency room. And I had to call and beg them to let me come back and see them. If I were on paratransit, I might be on there for an hour and a half. There would be no way if something happened to me that I could deal with that, and yet I've got two friends that I can really depend on to help me out. But I don't want them to get tired of me. I've had that happen.
Oh, of course. It's very easy to
burn
out a friend.
I was married to a sighted man,
And even though we started out, we talked about it, and, you know, I don't want you to be my slave, you know, and then, you know, all this kind of thing. And I want, you know, over time it got easier to say, hey, Joe, can you get me a can of mushroom soup?
Right.
And, you know, he read the mail and he did all this stuff. And when I could see that our marriage was starting to fail, I thought, ooh, you better get your butt in gear and get, you know, your independence back.
Yeah.
You've gotten too dependent on this man to take you where you want to go, to do this and that. And not only that, I was finally living, I was living away because we had to move. I was living over an hour's drive from my mother. So, you know, before that, when I lived closer to her, she would take me to the grocery store once a month. I had to learn how to do that on my own.
Right.
Even though I'm, you know, blind from birth, and I, you know, but, you know, I had to make a lot of changes. And I had some friends that I was kind of depending on. They, you know, offered to help me when I first got there. I was a blind woman, and her husband happened to be sighted. And so when they went to the store, they would take me.
Yeah.
And they helped me out a lot. But I could kind of tell, because when she answered the phone sometimes when I called, she didn't sound as enthusiastic.
Right, exactly.
And fortunately, I know enough about this, and it had happened to me enough times that I was, you know, I was hip to it. And I said to her, I'm getting a little bit much, aren't I? And she said, well, I said, enough said.
Right.
And I found alternate ways of doing things on my own.
Right.
And I'm trying to get back to that, because I've lost a lot of my independence because of this heart attack and because of my my agoraphobia and, you know, a lot of other things. And I know that I need to get back on paratransit because I don't want to lose my friends.
Right. No, absolutely.
And I don't, you know.
And it is tough.
And
there are so many layers of this. And as you get older, there's a loss of independence among everybody. And you add that to everything else, and it is daunting. You have ended the show and with a lot to talk about. And, you know, congratulations for staying as sane as you are. I don't know that I could do it.
And I'm not doing it. I sound insane on the radio than I do when I'm not on the radio.
John just came in to say that I'm not either. He said I can attest to it. She's not. All right. Well, then we'll with the insanity, we'll continue, and maybe we'll talk tomorrow night. All right. Thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it. All right. Yes, it's true. Absolutely. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and keeping me in line as much as that's humanly possible. We thank John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank every one of you for calling. And I know everybody's heart is in the right place. And John said, it's a full moon tonight. You should have expected this. All right. Well, we'll talk about that, too, 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.